Bad and the Guilty is recorded live with the men and women of law enforcement. All suspects are innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Now, here's your host, Iredell County Sheriff, Darren Campbell.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
Good afternoon, folks. This is not Sheriff Darren Campbell, but this is your host, Captain Matt Burleson. And we are joined in studio here. We're live at WSIC. We are on Facebook, and I know we are because I see that Adam Blackburn is watching. Wait a minute. Adam Blackburn is here with us as well. So we got Lieutenant Adam Blackburn from our Criminal Investigation Division is live in studio here. Guys, you've got our phone number. If you're if you want to call in, it's 844-STUDIO-4. We'll gladly take your questions today. We've got several things to talk about. We're just going to bounce some information back and forth. Hopefully you guys will end up learning quite a bit of information today about crime prevention, about how to secure your properties, your homes. We got seasonal ideas and things that are coming up too, because you know it's going to be the spring season. We're outside. We're using our lawn implements, our lawn tools.
And vacation season is upon us.
Oh, see, I was going to save that to the last because you know I can't think about that yet. I've still got another month or two to go.
Some of us are ready for vacation.
Oh, and most definitely. So yeah, thanks guys for joining us again. We're on WSIC. News app. Make sure you get our app, streaming video live to the WSIC News app. Want you guys to make sure you have the Sheriff's Office app as well. That's free on the Google Play and your iOS store. But yeah, 844-STUDIO-4, and we'll go ahead and get started. Thank you guys for joining us. Sheriff Campbell is away on some important Sheriff's Association business. Every time it seems we talk about his presidency takes him further and further out and around in different places. And I know just the other day there was some pretty important information that came out about that was affecting officers across the state and deputies, and that was very important. And he's always looking out for the best of us. And by that, holding that position, it carries a lot of weight throughout the state. And I know he's well known. I mean, we've got a lot of things, exciting things coming up next month for Officer Appreciation Month, and I won't take any of the thunder and flare away from what's going on during that time, but we've got some special proceedings again with the sheriff being his position. So, yes, Lieutenant Adam Blackburn.
How are you today?
I am good, my friend. We are friends. We've been together for several years here. I know I was a school resource officer back in the day, and I came out to patrol, was able to achieve the rank of sergeant in the cops unit, and I think you worked for me for a couple of days.
I actually did. You actually got promoted to lieutenant just after you moved out. Then I moved into your position as a sergeant.
That's what I see. I knew that. It wasn't very long. I moved from that cop sergeant position to back in the lieutenant, the resource officers, but that's where we worked a lot together, and just
Lakeshore.
Yes,
that's where I met you at Lakeshore when you was an SRO.
Yeah, Lakeshore Middle School. I was the first ever SRO there, and you know that's a whole different area. That whole area of Iredell County, which I'm from Mooresville area, but you're from up here,
right?
Yes, you're from this area, and so you understand. You understand the diversity, the difference that we have, and I know we've talked about the cops unit before, and I won't go into a lot of detail because that's not what this show is about. But you know that the reallocation of resources that the sheriff had come up with, the putting extra boots on the ground, so to speak, and the boats, the bikes, the everything. I think you've rode all those.
That's right. I was a member of the motor unit for several years. But
right.
If anyone's ever sat in traffic on Highway 150 or Brawley School Road, even like me and you know back in the two-lane days, before Brawley School was four-lane,
yeah.
If you sit in that traffic, imagine your family needing help.
Mm-hmm.
And us only having two officers in the South
right,
End.
Right, exactly.
So he's been able to allocate more positions so we can have coverage.
And the boat, you and I both were lake officers. I mean, we carried the keys to the boats and the vest. And you know you could make it to that boat and get to land somewhere else before that patrol car could.
Yes, sir.
You know, especially if you had something at the peninsula of Brawley School and you need to be on Langtree. You're not going to drive around there. But having that boat, you could get there quick. And now we've got the two boats stationed at the north and the south end of the lake, so that's pretty awesome. So you made the move up from that cop sergeant position into a position in the office now, where I get to see you daily as a criminal investigations lieutenant.
Right.
So that was a lot of steps to get there. So how did being in the cops union patrol prepare you from where you are today, and what do you do today?
Well, when I started on patrol, I worked primarily in Mooresville to start. Mm-hmm. Then I got moved back to Statesville for a while when we had an opening. And I worked for retired Lieutenant Robin Miller. I'm sure mm-hmm. you remember Robin Miller. Mm-hmm. And Robin was real good to push us to investigate your case, mm-hmm. follow through. If you have leads to follow up on while we're here during our shift, if calls permit, mm-hmm. try to dig into it. And I really enjoyed that he pushed us to try to get that. Then I got moved back down to the cops unit down in Mooresville. Same thing down there. I kind of followed through and tried to follow up on the cases that I could. And then I was asked if I was interested in applying for investigations in 2016. And at the time, I really liked what I was doing. But
right.
The sheriff said, I think you would make a good investigator, mm-hmm. and I think you would enjoy it once you tried it.
Right.
He said, give me a couple of years and try it. So I give him a couple of years and tried it, and I haven't left since.
No,
so
it's just been a ladder, upward mobility that's been able to take you there. And I know if you're watching the show, I know you were Adam, but if you're watching the show, a few weeks ago we had Deputy Robert Ball in here,
right.
Field training officer. I know you were a training officer as well. But talking about getting those cases, so a patrol officer gets the case, meets with the victim, gets information to pass on to you guys in criminal investigation, and they can. I mean, that's what you're saying is where Robert got the information, he ran with the ball, so to speak. So that's what you guys.
Yes, and Ball is a drone pilot, so a lot of times he gets investigations, missing persons, or maybe a suspect. He mm-hmm. can fly that drone and utilize the resources available to
him.
Right,
right, right.
But it's like a puzzle. Mm-hmm. As soon as the crime happens, the puzzle breaks apart.
Right.
And the longer it takes for us to start working the case, the mm-hmm. farther the pieces get scattered out. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times patrol has really done a good job at stepping up. We've had over 1,400 reports this year alone.
So we're talking about just in the days of 2024.
In 2024, yeah. Since January 1, we've had just over 1,400 reports made to the Iredell County Sheriff's Office.
Mm-hmm.
557 of those mm-hmm. were passed on to investigations, whether it be they didn't have time or it was just above what they could investigate. And patrol took care of the rest of them,
right.
whether that be prosecution declined, arrest. Mm-hmm. You see a lot of the press releases all about drugs. They
right.
you know, drug stops, DWIs, all that comes from patrol, and patrol closes the majority of these cases. Sometimes they don't have time to work some of the larger cases that we do. So we've taken 557 cases. We have closed 482. This is entire investigations. I'm not just talking about mm-hmm. my shift. We're talking about everybody, and that's a total of 87% close-clear ratio and 82 persons charged since January 1.
Well, I want to come back to that number, guys. Did you hear that? 87% clearance rate, 82 persons arrested just out of CID. And we will talk about that and any of your questions that you may have. Tune in. Come right back and see us here.
There's more of The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty with Iredell County Sheriff Darren Campbell on the way from 105.9 100.7 WSIC. With Iredell County Sheriff Darren Campbell on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
All right, well, welcome back in studio here on The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty. I'm your host today, Captain Matt Burleson, and joined by Lieutenant Adam Blackburn, our Criminal Investigations Division. I didn't get a chance to break. Well, first of all, that number was incredible. I know the sheriff is going to appreciate hearing he's a numbers guy, and these numbers are amazing. I mean, you know, with the crime rate reduction, I think it's over 55% since he's been in office for the last since the last 8 years, and that's overall. But you guys are talking about criminal investigations, and 1,400 cases have come in, and 582 of those have been assigned to
557 to us, as of this morning.
Yep. And out of those 557, 482 were cleared.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. And that's a lot of work.
It is.
Yeah.
The guys do a really good job, and that covers special victims and property crimes, anything from a lot of your major crimes down to, hey, somebody smashed my mailbox.
So talk about that, the breakdown, because, I mean, you've got there's a major, and then you've got the captain. You're a lieutenant. Tell me what
you
got.
So we have the major of the division, Troy Miller.
Right.
He's been in studio several times before.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
Then Captain Julie Wyatt.
Mm-hmm.
She is over both sides of the house, as we call it, Special
right.
Victims Unit, which is in another building from us, but
right.
we're still all detectives.
And we've
and
had some
us.
SVU detectives here before, and they deal with more specialized. The sheriff has increased
yes.
their numbers because of the economic crimes, of fraud, sex cases, the
domestic
telephone.
Domestic
violence, absolutely, those type things. So, yeah, you guys are this side of the house, the building we share, I guess you say, where,
yes, sir.
Where Julie has an office, Captain Wyatt as well. Those are more property crimes.
Yes, so, and Captain White is also over SVU.
Yep.
And
mm-hmm.
she worked over there as the lieutenant previously.
Okay.
Then she was a lieutenant in property crime, so she's got experience in
right.
all areas, both sides.
Right.
Then we have a Lieutenant Daniel Eichard
uh-huh.
and a sergeant in special victims.
Mm-hmm.
And then on our side, we have a day shift and a night shift. So detectives are working from 8 in the morning till 10 at night. 7 days a week. So
how many is on a shift? How many detect? I mean, I know we got 10 or so patrol officers, and we talked about that the other week, but how many detectives are working?
So in just property crimes, we have mm-hmm. 5 detectives, a sergeant, and a lieutenant.
Okay.
So when we move over to SVU, they have a lieutenant, a sergeant, they have 3 in sex crimes, 4 in financial crimes, 2
right.
in domestic violence, 2 sex offender.
Well, again, it's very specialized.
I mean, it's
yeah.
very specialized.
Okay.
And people have a lot more knowledge in their field there because that's the cases they're working every day.
Right, and that's good. And that's one of the things I know the sheriff has given you guys extra training. There's special teams. There's a homicide team where you guys have had extra training on that. And, you know, it's kind of like all hands on deck if something happens where, you know, I know Captain Wyatt the other day was talking about some of the different interview and interrogation
right.
techniques, the interview techniques, and being able to use those. So you learn from each other, but you also do a lot of out-of-house training as well.
You can learn from other agencies. You can learn from various instructors. Mm-hmm. One instructor can teach the same class and teach it two different ways. It's just the experiences they can base it off of.
I think Joe said we got a caller, so maybe we can learn somebody something you need to know. So caller, are you on the air with the good, the bad, and the guilty?
Hi, yes. My name's Annie Dance. AnnieDance.substack.com is my Cops in Congress newsletter focusing on police issues in Western North Carolina. I'm mm-hmm. curious on your thoughts of North Carolina Attorney General Josh Stein said yesterday that the rape kit testing backlog is, quote, over. However, the website that says that the crime lab is, quote, currently working on kits submitted in November 2022, of it with a screenshot I just took today, posted on my X account that anyone can look at. So I wanted to get your thoughts. Do you believe him and or not?
Well, you kind of dove into an area of politics where the sheriff needs to be here to make sure he answers that. I don't know the backlog. I remember that being an issue back before a political issue and stuff with the state. I know that just talking about us from Special Victims Unit, you know, that's one component of the crime. That's one piece of evidence.
That's one piece
yeah.
of evidence
we
in
have
the
our,
entire case.
Right.
We're still going to work the case whether we get that back or not. We're still going to submit our evidence.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if it takes more time for them to get it back, mm-hmm. whether they say they're clearing the log or mm-hmm. they're not clearing the log, we're still going to work our case. I can't answer for what they're doing on
yeah.
their side. I'm not there hands-on trying to look directly into what their job is daily or whether they're clearing that log, but we're still going to work the case.
And you know, that person-to-person testimony, so to speak. I mean, when you get your victim statements, I know that with child sex cases and other stuff, we use the Dove House Youth Advocacy Center that is able to record the information and forensic interview in a certain way that it can be used in court. Sometimes this evidence that you're talking about in the rape kits, sometimes, I mean, you know, nothing beats just word of mouth, you know, testimony.
And there's also a lot of confessions that our detectives are able to get.
That's
so a lot of times that evidence doesn't, it's not needed as much.
Right.
It's nice to have it for court, but
absolutely,
we're going to submit our evidence whether they are processing it in a timely manner or not.
Well, thank you, Annie, for your call, and I hope that give you a little answer of what we do here. And I know you're a loyal listener, and you have a lot of good information, so thank you for that. Any other calls come in, just let us know, and we'll see what we can do to educate you or help you with that. So, all right, we were talking about the size of the detectives. Now, do you issue the cases or assign those?
So we work 2 weeks of day shift, two weeks night shift, the rotation between the shifts. So me, and then there's Lieutenant Donald Claude Felter, and he has a sergeant. I have Sergeant Patrick Irwin. Myself or my Sergeant Patrick Irwin will do a case assignments when we're on day shift.
Okay.
When we're on night shift, Lieutenant Claude Felter, Sergeant Hall, they'll be doing the
assignments. So your assignments, are they like your patrol officers where the county's split up and they've got side and they've got that side? So you've got detectives that are working in
six major zones.
Okay. All right.
Yes, we'll have a northeast, northwest, east-west, southeast, southwest.
And I know Sheriff Campbell has talked about that. That's kind of the epitome of community policing, you know, where your patrol officers know the schools in their area, they know their businesses and stuff, and their business cards are out there. Well, you guys do a lot of the same canvassing and door-to-door neighborhoods and stuff as well.
Well, and we're not bound by that area. Mm-hmm. Just because I may be a west side detective does not mean I might not work east side cases.
Right.
If the east side starts getting covered up, or the southwest might start getting covered up, northwest, you'll work other areas, especially major cases. It's all hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
But the zone you're typically assigned to, that's the schools that you're going into daily.
Right.
That's where you stop to get gas in your patrol car daily.
Right.
That's where you're going to buy a drink, going to eat lunch at some of the local restaurants.
Right.
You get a base of the people that you know.
Mm-hmm.
In working the cases, you go out to people's homes and find out who has cameras.
Yes.
When you're in the community, sometimes people will buy cameras, and cameras are great. Thanks to everyone that takes it upon themselves to get cameras. But take a few minutes to see if your cameras are recording.
Mm-hmm.
We've run into a few incidences where bought great camera systems, but the record was not turned on.
Right.
If you know how to download your video for us, that helps us tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lady that does our downloads for our videos. If we have problems, we try to download most of it. But if we can't, Detective Myers, she can get right on that.
Yeah.
She can download just about anything. Sometimes she's had to take the DVR into her office to download it, but she can get the video footage.
Sergeant Brooks Myers got an office about twice his size with all the equipment to use the phones and the cameras and, you know, where I remember before seeing the multiplex view, you know, not the multiverse like Spider-Man, but the multiplex.
Right.
You know, you got like eight screens, and she's able to take that one off of there that we need. So, great idea with the cameras. And, you know, you've come with me and some other detectives will come with me out and do the crime prevention community watch.
Right.
And we talk about cameras. We talk about, you know, having your home properly lit, keeping your doors locked, bushes trimmed, you know, seeing in, seeing out windows, addresses on them. But, you know, what a lot of people don't think is you're really doing this for your neighbor. It's not just you.
Absolutely.
So your camera in your neighborhood could be your doorbell camera could see the bad guy's car that comes in and out of your neighborhood. Your outside camera on your dog lot to make sure Fido's not getting out of, you know, is going to see the neighbor's house across the street.
Yes.
And you guys find that out in the canvassing, right?
Yes. Yes, sir. And one thing I want to add to that, too, is a lot of times people will get the cameras and it's an option for motion only or full-time record. Do what you want to. It's your camera system. But I recommend to people put it on record all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's sending notifications to your phone, I understand it might get frustrating. It might get annoying. But if you could turn those notifications off and leave it recording all the time, if it doesn't go through the motion zone on your camera, it's not going to pick it up. And we've had people that unlock car doors.
Yeah.
Somebody goes through the neighborhood pulling on door handles. And
yep.
I have a camera, but it didn't go off. It's motion only.
Right.
If you turn it to where it records all the time, mm-hmm. you catch the things that the motion might not pick up.
And it's not like you're putting on a CD or a disc or whatever, SD card. It's not like it's going on a card anymore. It's going in the cloud.
It's either in the cloud, or if it's going to some sort of DVR, it's overwriting itself after so much time.
That's true. So yeah, think about the DVR.
Just make sure you have enough time. So if you go on a week's vacation, you need at least a week's storage to make sure when you get home, everything's fine.
Okay. And you mentioned something about that. In your neighborhoods, unfortunately, a lot of times your crime comes from within. And you know, just like the patrol guys, they deal with the same people a lot of times, right? They're stopping that same guy that could be driving drunk, or that same person that's out sneaking around the neighborhood. But well, you guys are going back to the same criminals that you've investigated before. So sometimes you know those in the neighborhood that are involved.
Yes, you find a lot of them that are addicted to some form of narcotics, and they have to feed their habit.
Right.
So that might mean going to the local landscaper. Mm-hmm. And stealing a chainsaw, weed eater, or something off of his truck, and taking it to the pawn shop and selling it. Mm-hmm. Whether it's someone stealing scrap metal off of a farmer's barn because they wanted to take it to the local scrapyard and try to get a couple of bucks for
and
their next
fix. And that's
what
I was talking about. We are out in our yards. I know I'm working too much out there, but you leave that weed eater behind, you leave that lawnmower behind, you leave something out there, lock that stuff up, put it away. I mean, you know, you're just advertising for folks what you have whenever you, you know, leave these garage doors open. I know me and Detective McNeely was in a nice neighborhood the other day, and he was looking for cameras and I was looking for garage door openers. Yes. So we all kind of have a different way of doing that, but you're just showing them what you have out
and
there
look
available.
Out for your neighbors. If something looks odd, tell us about it.
JDLR. If it just don't look right, let us know. Get us on the app. All right. We will be back in just a few moments here on The Good, The Bad, and The Guilty. Thank you so much for listening.
Right here. The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty with Iredell County Sheriff Darren Campbell will return after this short break on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Now more of The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty with Iredell County Sheriff Darren Campbell on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
All right, welcome back to The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty. I'm your host today, Captain Matt. I've got Lieutenant Adam with us from CID, Criminal Investigation Division. And I believe we took a call while we were on break. So, Joe, go ahead, caller. Thank you for calling into The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty. What can we answer or discuss with you today?
Oh, okay. Are we on the air?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
We're on the air.
Okay, the question for the officer... was one we were talking about cameras and that, but it's a privacy thing because I have known girls that their neighbors set up cameras that were aimed right in their backyards, on their decks. So it was not really to look out for a perpetrator. It was to sit there and look at them.
So where the cameras are at, is it on their property? Because anywhere you have a legal right to be, if it's your property, your building, if you're putting the cameras on your property, it's same as you having a cell phone. If you go down to a public business, public street or highway, anywhere you have a legal right to be, that camera has a legal right to be there and to be recording.
Yeah, and I think what you're talking about, the backyard or the back deck, where does a person have an expectation of privacy? So that would be in their home. That would be in, you know, of course, in public restrooms or dressing rooms, anywhere you would have an expectation of privacy. But, you know, out on your deck, you're visible. So there is no expectation of privacy as far as a camera pointing at the neighbor's deck or in the backyard. I mean, there could be a nefarious reason for doing that, but as far as the legality of it, there's not a privacy breach there. That answer your question?
Well, and I mean, and I actually am very good friends with the head of a very large security company around here. I'm sure you know who they are, and I asked him the same question. And he said, "I'm not sure. That's a very good question because is that camera going into these people's, let's just say, private areas in their house, particularly the backyards, things of this nature?"
Yeah, that's not in the
house.
Yep.
Yeah, and so That's kind of what I was asking you. So since we were talking about, you know, cameras and things, you know, where do we still have some privacy, you know, from somebody who may be the barbarian, they're the ones who may be doing this fine.
Yep. That's true. And I mean, everybody has a reason for, I mean, I know parents have concerns about things and we fully understand that. And we'll talk to parents about their, you know, there's somebody at a pool or something recording, and you know, I mean, it's when you see something, it just doesn't look right. I mean, you can talk to us. I mean, this could be something that we could talk to the person, and they may it could be a, you know, criminal behavior, not the recording, but there could be some evidence of something else there. So you know, if something, I said before the break, if it just don't look right, JDLR, right, just don't look right, give us a call, and we'll look into that.
And I know long. And for, I'm very supported and very aware. And if something doesn't look right, you probably should be concerned.
Right. And we appreciate that. And one of the things too. Thank you, caller, for that. That was a great question. And always good to be able to discuss that stuff. And I had a great knowledge here with the investigation experience. So speaking of knowledge and speaking of what our caller was talking about, if you see something, we were just talking about what's coming up, Adam. What do we have right around the corner?
We have 7 more weeks of school.
Oh,
can you believe
that's exactly
it's already
right.
my daughter's excited for it, but. Yep. 7 more weeks of school. So when school gets out, we have the warmer times coming.
Yep.
As it warms up, criminals are just as bad as anybody else. If it's cold and raining outside, they're probably going to stay inside.
Yep.
But as it starts to warm up, longer days, warmer nights, that's when they start strolling around looking to shop in your backyard.
Looking for opportunity,
that's
crimes
exactly
of opportunity.
Right. So it's time to start making sure your car doors are locked, like you mentioned earlier with the lighting.
Yep.
Make sure the lighting's in place. If you have cameras, make sure your cameras are operating.
Right.
If you see somebody walking through your neighborhood at night, if you don't recognize them, call us.
Right.
We'll identify them. If it turns out to be a new neighbor you don't know, then so be it. At least they'll be happy
you
that
feel safer
somebody's
about
looking
it
out for you.
Exactly right. They shouldn't have any reason to, I mean, your neighbor will appreciate that because, you know, if it doesn't look right to you, you know what your neighbor looks like. You know what that car sounds like. Your patrol officer doesn't know that. And, you know, we were talking also during the break, if you're out of town, all right.
Yes, vacations are coming. So if you're on vacation, make sure not to put it on social media that, hey, look, I'm in Cozumel for 2 weeks.
When you come back, you can post your portfolio of the sandy beaches and the blue waters and the waterfalls and the mountains and everywhere you go.
Make everyone jealous once you get
home. Once you get home.
Just make sure that if you are going and out of town, you're going for a weekend trip and posting pictures. Make sure someone is at your home, house sitting for you, in your home, watching over your property. You don't want Amazon coming by, leaving packages on your step and everyone knows you're gone.
Right.
You don't want the local neighborhood thief coming by knowing that you're on vacation. Make sure it looks like you're at home. You can even put timers in your home to where the lights still come on and off as it would at a regular time that you would normally be there. But just take the time to be a little bit more private.
I know when I'm out of town, I've got a couple of older neighbors, and they have keys to my house. Even if I'm gone on a day trip, you know, someone could let the dogs out, you know, that kind of stuff. So that goes into that neighborhood watch. You have a reduced fear of crime and just an appreciation for what your neighbors can do for you and looking out for each other. You know, and if you don't have that, we're your neighbors. We're family. Sheriff's office will come by and check on your house when you're gone.
Yes, sir. You can go online and you can put in a security check request. You can contact, you can call the sheriff's office and say, I'd like to speak to the officer that's working in my area. The deputy can come to your house and meet you face to face, give you a card, introduce themselves. You can fill out a security check request on paper, or they can just let the shift lieutenant know so they can send it out to all the shifts.
Yeah, and I know Major Hepler and Captain Yontz gets that and passes that down to patrol shifts. And that could be information as far as where the cars that are parked in the driveway, telephone numbers when you're away, what lights are going to be on, who to call if something happens. And again, that gives you more peace of mind when you're out of town.
Yes, and if you're having someone come by to take care of pets or coming to check the mail, just that's fine. Put that information on there so when we show up and your cousin's in the driveway and we want to know why they're at the house at 10 o'clock at night. We want to make sure we know who's supposed to be there, but call us. We'll be glad to keep an eye on it for
you.
That's
good. That's good. So, yeah, we're looking forward to vacation. There's a date like next week that not many of us have been looking forward to.
Mine's done.
Tax day.
But it is tax day.
Congratulations.
Yes. Mine's done. I wanted to get it over with as soon as possible.
It's kind of like ripping a Band-Aid. You got to just get it off quick, right?
Right. But for those of you that are working on taxes, we have had a lot of sessions about this, our financial crimes. People have been here and talked about it. But I just want to mention again, the sheriff's office and the IRS does not operate by calling you and telling you that you owe back taxes and you need to pay over the phone or we're coming to arrest you. If the sheriff's office does not call you and tell you we have an arrest warrant, but we'll take care of it if you will send us some money.
Or gift cards.
Or gift cards. We do not accept gift cards. We can't use gift cards for anything. So just be mindful. Don't give any personal information over the phone. If someone calls and says, hey, this is Lieutenant Adam Blackburn from the sheriff's office. Mm-hmm. We have a warrant for your arrest. Okay, come to the sheriff's office to turn yourself in. Don't give any information over the phone.
No. Hang up on them and call us.
Yes, that is one bad part about the webpage having a lot of our information on there, so you know who to contact. Mm-hmm. They use our names, and they portray to be us, and they try to get money out of victims in the community. Just don't give any information out.
Right. And I get these calls from friends. I mean, that, you know, they'll call me and say, hey, my neighbor, my family member, whatever, you know, what do I tell them? And I'm like, you know, kick rocks. I mean, you know, that you don't have to give any information. You know, that was one of our
hang up the phone.
Yes. One of our local business leaders had called the other day and he's like, Matt, what do I tell them, Matt? I was like, don't tell them nothing. You know, they will not come after you for that. I mean, that's not going to happen. You know, we're not doing that. That ain't us. So, yeah, that's good information there. So, yeah, tax day, vacation day. I mean, I guess if you don't have your taxes, you're not going on vacation. The IRS is not going to look at that. Definitely don't post that on Facebook that you're taking a vacation and you owe taxes.
Yeah. No, and most of the people that hadn't filed their taxes yet, they probably owe taxes, so that's the reason they're waiting for the last minute before they sign the dotted line.
I'm done. It's good. Exactly right. Like I said, it's all good. It's taken care of. So we work and we pay taxes. That's how we have this great great community that we have and everything that we're able to do, and that as well as drug dealers' money.
Yes.
I like that. I like how the sheriff offsets so much of our good things that we do with the drug dealers' money. And that's what we talk about when we come back. We've got the volleyball league going on. We've got some great food trucks. It's like a food truck festival at Statesville High School every weekend.
Have everybody stop by. Yeah, have some lunch.
So we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. And we'll talk about some other press releases and what we've got going on. So,
also,
Adam, don't go anywhere.
Teen Academy.
Teen Academy.
We've
got
to get on Teen Academy as well.
Teen Academy coming up in July. So we'll talk about that as well when we come back in just a few moments. Callers, call in if you have any questions. 844-STUDIO-4. Thank you.
Stay with us. We'll have more of The Good, the Bad, and the Guilty after this short break on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here. With Iredell County Sheriff Darren Campbell on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here.
All right. Well, that music always makes me miss Chief Bill Hamby. He likes that, I don't know, Spectre Clouseau, Clue, Inspector Gadget, whatever that music is.
I like
is.
All music.
Yeah, but this, you know, Joe gives us a variety coming back. So one of these days he's going to hit us with something different, and we're going to look around like, what do we do next? I mean, no, Joe does a great job. Great work in the studio here, by the way. The setup here, it's nice and comfortable. So I get to keep my eyes on you the whole time we're talking.
I get to look at you instead of look at the back of the screen.
Notice that the sheriff's chair is vacant, so that's where he gets to sit there. So, but no, it's very comfortable. So thanks to setting this up for us. All right. Speaking of setup, bump, set, score, spike, Is that the volleyball terms?
I'm
learning
here.
A lot because I don't know anything about this sport, but I just remember it being said it's a lot of fun. It's a good team sport. It's team building, and it's all of those things, but it's not just fun. It's competitive.
Very.
So I heard some squeals and some screams and some whistles and some sounds coming out of these little girls' mouth and guys on Saturday that, you know, I didn't think something this big could make that much noise. Well, you do. You've got some at home. You know how yes. loud they can be. So, yeah, guys, volleyball is going on. We use the drug dealers' money to get out there, and we've got over 300 kids, over 30 teams. We got our community members that are coaches. We've got our patrol officers and school resource officers and detectives that are coaches. And it's just a great time to come out and see. And, I mean, it's open to you guys. Public's welcome to come. One of the things that Sheriff Campbell did this year was we invited some food trucks out there. If you're going to be there from 8 to 2 or 3, you know, if you feed them, they will come. So they're there. They need to eat. So we've had we had a great tumbleweed coffee last week. I'm not a coffee drinker, but, you know, they put Reese's syrup in hot chocolate, and it's on point.
Well, and it helps those local businesses, too, that
yep.
come out.
Yep. So
they come out. They enjoy the festivities and...
And speaking of the local businesses, this Saturday we will have Land Cruisers Coffee, Lost Highway Pizza, and Jason's Italian Ice. So I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, we appreciate the businesses, the local business coming out and support us. And if you'll come out and support them as well and support these girls and guys that are playing and having a good time, we certainly enjoy it. And, you know, several patrol officers, I know some of your detectives, as you said, the on-call detective, the second shift, they're working on the weekends,
right?
So they're coming by. We're seeing them in there as well, and it's okay if they take a break and watch a little sports instead of, you know, knocking on doors and investigating crimes just for a few
that's
minutes,
right?
So
good time to take their lunch break.
That's
hit,
exactly
hit a food
right.
truck, get some coffee, and watch some volleyball.
Perfect. I think that's what we'll do. I think that lunch is coming, guys, on Saturday now. So you mentioned our special victims unit. We've talked about them all the time. I know the sheriff has expanded those guys and gals now. We had a big meeting down in Mooresville with the Golden Boys group, and they asked us to come in and do a fraud presentation. And I know Detective Scanella, Detective Parks were down there. And it's, you know, we do this. You, whatever you want, we come to you. If you need a community watch crime prevention presentation, if you want something like this at your neighborhood meeting for your groups, at your schools, you know, one thing we failed to mention too is part of the investigation unit, and under Captain Wyatt, you've got the threat assessment investigators
right.
that the sheriff has doubled in size from 1 to 2. And we've had just the only one in the state for a while.
We had the original. Now there are two.
Exactly. Now there are two. So his and hers, male-female team duo there. So, Heather Little, she's been on the show before, as well as Sean Rowe. I think he's been here as well before.
Yes.
So those guys and guy and gal do a lot in the church shield, those presentations, going out and speaking in the community on active shooter, going to businesses. But just as a local homeowner, if you want us or those guys to come and see your home and talk about the cameras, again, we're not going to install anything. We're not going to say this is the one you need, but they can do a security survey on your home.
A site assessment of the home.
Mm-hmm.
Just say, hey, you've got some bushes that are overgrown. You need to trim them.
Right.
Because it's very simple for you to sit in your living room reading your book, watching TV, and I can hide out here and be watching you the entire time.
Right.
Understand, if your lights are on at night inside the home, there's no outside light. Mm-hmm. They can see in, but you can't see out. The reflection prevents you from seeing me.
So, you know, this time of year, windows are open. And my wife enjoys that outside air coming in. Now,
except
I don't,
for the pollen.
That's why I don't like it. So I kind of snuck and took the screens off the windows. And my reason was for crime prevention because, you know, you look out that window and you can't see through that screen. It's fuzzy. But you take it off and look how clear it is. Now I can see really well. And I don't like the pollen. So we don't open the windows, but we don't have screens on the windows. So they're still there. I think they're in the basement. She's fussing about getting me to put them back up. But I don't want them because of that reason you said, Adam. You, with something over the window like that, you can't see out as well. And, you know, you're right. It's reverse at night. You know, you've got the lights on inside. It's dark outside. They can see in. I've got new neighbors that are moving in. They graded beside of my home there. And you know, I can actually see in their house, like on the second floor. They're not moved in yet, but these homes under construction, hopefully they've, you know, understand lighting and can put some privacy up there as well, too. So I could teach my neighbors a thing or two about that.
During the day, it's nice. When you can have those screens in and no one can see in hardly, unless they look really close, you can see out. But at night, it's reversed, and that could be a problem for you.
We did put up one of those screen doors. We got a screen door now that we picked up, so you can open the back door and you can slide the screen across. It's good, except for when the dog doesn't realize it's there.
How many times has it been replaced?
It's new, so the dog's only hit it once. It's a smart dog. I think she's learned to don't hit it again, or at least don't hit it so fast. So, all right, we'll move on to one of our press releases, the one that we released for this week. There's always plenty of stuff coming out there. And I know you made a good point, Lieutenant Blackburn, that the Criminal Investigations Division are closing cases and arresting people. As you said, 82 people were arrested on just the investigations. This is not the stuff where the officer goes and catches a person with stolen property and they charge them then. This is what you guys
have
done.
This is cases that needed follow-up.
Right. The follow-up cases that detectives have done. So, you know, we don't always get to publicize. I mean, it's out there, but we don't always get a chance to put them as a news release. Those 82 people could have had another, you know, a couple hundred charges.
Yes, that's just persons. Yes. That's not charges.
Yeah, because we're
talking hundreds of charges.
Right.
82 persons have been charged since January 1, 2024.
So what you guys see out there on Facebook and a lot of news releases are these, we catch them with the property, with the drugs, whatever. That's the ACE team, the ICE team on the interstate, the stuff they're doing.
And all of your patrol.
Yeah, and all the patrol. Every time, you know, the patrol's making good cases and doing a lot of good work out there and, you know, try to make sure they get the credit for that as well. And this is our, this particular press release today is about our warrant squad. So we do have a lieutenant, Derek. I think you might have come on the show before. And then we've got three now, right?
Three.
Yeah, three warrant officers.
Three warrant officers.
And so they're not only dealing with Iredell County warrants, but they take the other county's warrants as well. When someone's here that's wanted on charges. So this guy here, Boris Dewan Cunningham, 45 years old, of West Front Street here in Statesville, he had 25 outstanding felony charges for selling narcotics in Gaston County. Yeah, so
an upstanding citizen.
Exactly right. So Deputy Austin Joyce was able to make contact with this individual, was able to get him at the time of the arrest. He found him with fentanyl, MDMA, methamphetamine packaged in a manner consistent with the sale of narcotics. So because of that, they were able to get a search warrant on his property or the residence there, seize that stuff. So, I mean, there you go. You've got someone selling drugs in another county. They've got the charges. We pick them up and we catch them selling drugs here or with the stuff ready to sell. He had a $2.55 million bond. 25 outstanding warrants, and then no bond for the current charges. So the stuff we caught him here with, no bond on that. So he's still serving. So if he comes up with $2 million, $2.5 million, I guess he can get out on Gaston County charges, but he'll face Iredell County charges.
That's right.
Yep. And that criminal history's there. You know, Sheriff always puts on that history. We got two counts of sell and deliver controlled substance, Schedule 2, which is the bad stuff, methamphetamine, the possession of intent to sell and deliver. So, I mean, guy's got a history of that, and we were able to get him on those charges and the ones here. So,
repeat offenders,
career repeat offenders. Hear Sheriff talk about that. So, and we'll continue to target those guys. Even if you don't commit a crime here, if you are here, and you're a criminal, we'll find you. We'll get you for that, and we'll send you somewhere else. Guys, I want to close out with the last amount of time that I have. One of the questions talked about the Teen Academy. Teen Academy is right around the corner. It's coming up. It'll be in July. We just finished up our Citizens Academy. So Teen Academy will be in July. We'll run it on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 6 to 8, and we'll start after July the 4th, so around like July the 9th. So Tuesday, July the 9th, and it'll go through August the 1st on Thursday. Thursday. We'll meet 8 times, and we'll do that in July. That is not out. I mean, I've got those address. I mean, excuse me, I got those dates, but I've not made the applications yet. We'll talk more about that in weeks to come. So,
and if they have questions, they can always reach out to the sheriff's office. They can talk to you about it.
I will answer any questions.
I've sent several people to you.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. Exactly. Parents and the kids too. So we'll take those guys 13 to 16 for Teen Academy coming up. So I'm hearing the music playing, and I really appreciate Lieutenant you being here today. And
absolutely,
we'll see Sheriff Darren Campbell next week on The Good, The Bad, and The Guilty. Thank you guys for tuning in.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Mooresville, North Charlotte.